Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back to Pomp and Joe. Pomp is our roving reporter at Oakmont today. Let's go right out to Garrett Podell of CBSSports.com. Garrett, my apologies. I referred to you in the last segment as Ira. Did you know Ira Podell, the longtime hockey writer for the Associated Press, by any chance?
I did not. That's just purely a coincidence. No connection, but thanks again for having me on, Joe. Great to see you as always.
Of course. Perhaps I could introduce you. Obviously, no relation. You wrote a good story on Aaron Rodgers, the pros and cons, and I thought the part that really jumped out to me was Aaron Rodgers under center versus Aaron Rodgers in the shotgun. He wants to be in shotgun. Arthur Smith likes his quarterbacks under center. How does this play out?
That's a great question. And yeah, because we know Arthur Smith, he loves to build his offenses around the run. In four of his six seasons as an OC in the NFL with 10 years in Tennessee and then Atlanta as the head coach, now in Pittsburgh, four of those 6 years, top 10 rushing attacks. And last year, as you mentioned, 42.6% of Pittsburgh snaps in 2024 were under center. That was the fourth highest rate in the NFL. And then in New York, Aaron Rodgers, he was in the shotgun a little over 70% of the time, which was the 11th highest rate in the NFL. And as we know from Aaron Rodgers' career, he loves and has pretty much earned as a four-time league MVP, having control at the line of scrimmage to get everybody lined up the way he wants and winding the play clock down, full control over the offense. So stylistically, this is going to be a really interesting combination in Pittsburgh. How much of it will be Arthur Smith's offense? How much latitude will Aaron Rodgers have? And then also you think of it's a young offensive line outside of Isaac Seumalo. Everybody else on that line only has a year or two of experience in the NFL. And this was a Pittsburgh offensive line that was bottom five in the NFL in quarterback pressure rate allowed, 38.6% quarterback pressure rate, fourth worst in the NFL. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Arthur Smith and Rodgers come together to design this offense to mitigate pressure on Rodgers, because a lot of his game is he's not a runner per se, but always kind of dancing around in the pocket or rolling out to make a jaw-dropping throw. It's going to be 41, will be 42 in December. How will that mesh and come together? That'll be really interesting to see.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of obvious last year that that part of his game wasn't there anymore. But the question I have is why bring in Aaron Rodgers if you're not going to let him run his offense? That doesn't make sense to me. Does it to you? Do you think they give him, you know, almost full latitude to do what he wants? And is that the way to go?
I think you have to, because, yeah, you don't want to have a locker room drama. I mean, we saw before Robert Saleh was fired last year, Saleh was complaining about delay of game penalties and things like that stuff, penalties around the line of scrimmage and occasional false start related to Rodgers' hard count and really waiting and trying to get the defense to jump to get a last minute kind of edge at what the defense is doing. And then that became a public back and forth through the media, their respective press conferences for a couple weeks. That's something I'm sure the Steelers do not want to have. So I would imagine you would have to give Aaron Rodgers full latitude. And now look, maybe Aaron Rodgers understands, maybe I need to run, lean on the run game a little bit more kind of later on in my career. And Pittsburgh's got a real efficient running back in terms of yards per scrimmage touch, and Jaylen Warren, and kind of a nice in between the tackles runner rookie out of Iowa, Caleb Johnson, who's the Big Ten's leading rusher in terms of rushing yards and rushing touchdowns last season with the Hawkeyes. So maybe he leans a little bit more on that. But yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of trouble if Arthur Smith tries to go toe-to-toe and have a war over whose offense it is in Pittsburgh.
Garrett Podell from CBSSports.com. Read his piece. Aaron Rodgers continues Hall of Fame career, pros, cons as QB joins Pittsburgh for his 21st season. That is unbelievable. I didn't even realize that. It's his 21st season?
Yeah, 21st season. It'll be his 18th as a starting quarterback. So first 3 years behind Brett Favre.
That's the part.
So, I mean, if you want to talk about seasons played, 18 seasons in the league, 21, 05 draft class.
That's right. So 21 seasons, even though, he didn't play at first. Here's the question. Knowing everything you know right now about Rodgers, his recent history, Arthur Smith, the way he wants to run an offense, Mike Tomlin's offenses, do you think this is going to work, Garrett? And how would you define that? How would you define that? Winning a playoff game or what?
I think it can work. I think the big thing is going to be, this is going to sound super cliche, but establishing the run, Rodgers running a ton of play action. I think back to in 2019 and 2020, his first years, two seasons with Matt LaFleur as the head coach with the Green Bay Packers. He'd kind of been at a crossroads career-wise. People kind of maybe thought he was a little washed in 2018, but he kind of embraced sort of a hybrid offense where there were still under center concepts, play action, motion, but Rodgers also had plenty of latitude to get out of plays and do what he wanted to do. And in 2019, they made the NFC title game, lost the 49ers. 2020, he had one of his best seasons ever and won MVP, and they almost reached the Super Bowl, falling by one possession to the Buccaneers in that NFC title game. So I think the best case scenario is something like those first two Matt LaFleur years where Rodgers was receptive to being under the center, running more play action, leaning a little bit more on the run game, and then taking his deep shots to Devontae Adams, or now in this case, DK Metcalf with the Steelers, and kind of rolling from there, leaning on the top 10 defense on the other side of the ball and really seeing if that can work. And so what would a successful year look like? Well, Pittsburgh has lost their last six playoff games and they've given up 28 points at least in all of them. So I'd say at minimum, Pittsburgh would have to consider winning one playoff game a success, but I think at least winning two and getting the AFC title game would be a massive success. I mean, considering the Kansas City Chiefs have been the AFC Super Bowl representative in five of the last 6 years, something that's never happened before. So, I mean, at least getting that far would probably be ultimate success. Winning a playoff game would probably be a success considering where they've been the last few years.
Yes, and as you pointed out in your story, no team in NFL history has ever gone six straight playoff games allowing at least 28 points until Mike Tomlin Steelers. Limits, I wouldn't think of leaving you out of this conversation.
Garrett, I've been squashed like a bug on a rug in the last couple of days based on believing what Ben Roethlisberger also believes, I might add, and what one of our reporters, Ray Fittipaldo, in the area also believes, that I think that with Mason Rudolph, this is more of a 6 or 7 win team. I think they're a 10-win team with Aaron Rodgers. Do you fall in a similar light as me? How many wins do you think they have now that Rodgers is the guy?
I don't think you're far off, City Limits. I think, you know, somewhere between 10, 11 is probably right, because early on in the season, there will probably be some adjustments. And look, playing in the AFC North, the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, who was the all-pro quarterback first team last year, probably could have won MVP. And then Joe Burrow, if he's healthy and firing, as we saw last year, he's right up there for one of the best quarterbacks in the league, leading the league in passing yards and passing touchdowns. So there's definitely probably at least 5 or 6 losses between a few in the division and maybe a handful outside of it as well. But I think best case regular season scenario, 10-11 wins, 10-7, 11-6, maybe 12-5, but probably more in that 10-11 win range. And yeah, I think if Mason Rudolph is the starter, you're conceding this season and trying to get into the top 10 of the NFL draft if Rudolph is the starting quarterback. I mean, we saw with Tennessee. Now, Tennessee didn't have the greatest array of weapons, but they did have Calvin Ridley. Tony Pollard went over 1,000 yards rushing, and that was not good in Tennessee. So I would definitely agree with your stance for sure.
Garrett Podell of CBS Sports. So, Garrett, when you look at the Steelers in general, are they the biggest story in the league right now? It sure seems like it today with Aaron Rodgers showing up and TJ Watt not here. Like, which team is a bigger story of more interest than them right now? Anybody?
I think the Steelers certainly have that crown when you combine, like you said, Watt and the contract uncertainty, him willing to eat the fines for missing mandatory minicamp, and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you just look at contract situations around the league in the AFC North, in the Steelers division, the Cincinnati Bengals, no contract for Trey Hendrickson up to this point, no contract for first round pick edge rusher. So probably his successor, Shamar Stewart out of Texas A&M. That's a little weird that neither of those guys is paid. You'd think at least one of them, probably Shamar Stewart would. And then the Dallas Cowboys here where I am locally in Dallas are a storyline simply for the fact that Micah Parsons, like TJ Watt, is one of those top-of-the-line edge rushers and seeking a new contract. And he said he will be at mandatory minicamp this week. He's not going to take any fines. I will be out at Cowboys minicamp the next 3 days, and we'll head out from there in a little bit. But I would say probably those, the Bengals and the Cowboys, are probably up there. But the Steelers definitely have the crown because no one's got both, you know, a brand-new MVP quarterback walking in the building and an all-pro defensive player in a contract spat simultaneously.
Well, speaking of that, would you give TJ Watt, Miles Garrett money to keep him here? Would you consider trading him? How do you think that all plays out?
Well, I think you pay him because Cam Hayward, he's at the end, right? And he's kind of been the culture setter defensively for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the Steelers over the years have clearly shown they value continuity, culture. I mean, in the way that they've handled Mike Tomlin, despite some disappointing playoff finishes, like we mentioned, the 6-game playoff losing streak in which they've allowed 28 points in all of them, an NFL record. So with knowing that organization's MO with this stuff, I would imagine you sign TJ Watt. I mean, this is probably TJ Watt's last big deal, and he's kind of the bridge between the current Steelers and whatever Pittsburgh's going to be in the next 2, 3, 4 years from now, based on who they draft and sign in free agency, and who also a bridge to, they'll have a new quarterback after this year. Rodgers turns 42 in December and is on a 1-year contract. So I think the Steelers would want to have a stable locker room presence on defense, like they always seemingly do. So I would imagine they would sign TJ Watt because while he's super valuable to a lot of teams, he probably has more value to Pittsburgh. And if you look at Trey Hendrickson, he's led the league in sacks this past season, had the same figure, and was the runner-up a year ago, 17 and a half each last 2 years. He's 30. I mean, there's a thaw or stalemate on his market. So what would Watt be on the trade market? I think he's more valuable to Pittsburgh than anyone else.
What would he bring on the trade market, in your opinion?
That's a great question. I would probably say at least one first-round pick.
Me too.
And then after that, it would depend on if a team wants to surrender another player in that deal, or if it's, you know, a second, third round pick, things like that. Because any team that does trade for TJ Watt is basically communicating, we are about to pay up for a pass rusher who's going into his 30s. So I would say that's probably something that you would consider there. So for sure, one first, and then compensation after that would depend on player picks, whatever it may be.
Garrett, we appreciate the time. Everybody can read that piece at cbssports.com, the pros and cons of Aaron Rodgers. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much for having me, Joe.
Absolutely. What a nice man he is, huh, Limits?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Limits, you'll be happy to know that Deontay Johnson is at Browns mandatory minicamp today.
Oh, thrilled.
As is Myles Garrett and David Njoku.
What about
a contract situation?
Kenneth Shane Pickett, is he there?
Unfortunately for them, I believe he is. Yes. We're going to get back to the Steelers in short order here. First, let's jump onto the Pirates wagon a little bit here. Limits. 4 in a row. Don Kelly has a winning record. 15-14 or 14-13? What is it?
I think it's 15-14. Don't let the Bucs get hot, Joe. Don't let them get hot.
So a couple of questions for you and everybody out there. People love Don Kelly. There's no doubt about that. My mailbag was littered with Don Kelly questions today. Should he be named permanent manager right now?
Wow. Very popular topic on Uranus.
Oh, we had John Heyman.
Without context.
Okay, yeah. You got to add the
Uranus.
Yeah, the context you have to add there.
That's
limits.
True.
John Heyman writing that they should extend Kelly right now? Has he lost his mind? Listen, I like Don Kelly. I think he's doing a good job. I think they're fun to watch. They become watchable again. There's no doubt about that, but I think we can afford to hold off for a little while here, Limits, don't you?
John Hammond's direct tweet, Pirates are showing serious improvement. Kelly already has earned an extension. No, I'm not going to rush to judgment after just a month.
We finally agree on that.
I'm not going to
do something anyway.
No, I'm not going to do that. I like Donnie Kelly. I think he's a good baseball man. I think he's made some good decisions. That does not mean that you immediately jump to conclusions in what is a 162-game season and just hand the keys to Donnie Kelly because they're playing 500 baseball. Is that the goal, just play 500 baseball?
Well, I'll say this. If they're one game over 500 or at 500 at the end of the year, he's a shoo-in to come back.
Yeah, I agree.
But that brings up the second question and first the conundrum.
And this is the most important question.
Is him doing well making Ben Cherington a really good candidate to come back? Like, is he going to save Cherington's job? Are they going to save Cherington's job if they play well? But the question I want to ask you, Limits, is for you, what would it take for you to support the idea of Cherington coming back next year?
That's an incredible question.
Incredulent, some would say.
Because my white flag has already been waving for Ben Cherington.
I mean, I wrote 3 weeks ago that he's the worst general manager in the history of Pittsburgh sports.
Yes. I think that they have to move on from him unless they make a miraculous run and like almost sniff the playoffs.
Is that
your
criterion? Because mine, it's not for me.
There would be individual, that would be like team-wise. Individually, which I think at this point is probably more important because they dug themselves such a huge hole, is Henry Davis and what ultimately happens there. The improvements of
Spencer Horwitz
and what that trade ultimately looks like. And also, what does he do in trades at the deadline, because he's going to be here at this point for the deadline. What do you get for IKF? Are you able to parlay David Bednar and Dennis Santana?
I mean, we won't know, though. For me, listen, he's actually done a good job with the pitching.
No doubt.
He has.
That is undeniable.
Talent has been finding veteran pitchers, and he's found Bailey Falter, and this year he found Heaney. And he also drafted Paul Skeens over Dylan Cruz when a lot of people thought he wouldn't. So that part of it, he looks pretty good. The lineup, he looks horrendous. Bob Smizek just put out a Twitter poll. You know, I think it was to the effect of, even if Kelly wins, do you want Charrington back? And 94% said no. Well,
94.
I'm keeping a little more of an open mind here. If Henry Davis continues to get better and better, and Horwitz looks like a player, and Nick Gonzalez has a good year, it's almost like, how can you deny him then? If those three guys, maybe a Canario, maybe somebody like that, it looks like Griffin and Tamar Johnson are advancing nicely through the minors, two position players. Like, I think there's enough to move on from Charrington. Don't get me wrong. But one of the reasons, one big reason, is he blew it in the draft with Henry Davis. Well, what if he didn't? What if he did find a first baseman? And what if Nick Gonzalez, the seventh overall pick, turns out to be a pretty good player?
I think one argument that a lot of people will make is, should you throw out what happened over the course of the last 5 years just because of what is currently going on in the last 5 weeks? You know, like...
Well, it's not about the last 5 weeks. It's about the next 3 months.
Very fair. And I mean, that will ultimately be the
But then
the
you, can
total
ask,
argument.
You can ask the same question. Should you throw out what happened over the first 5 years just because of 3 months? Well...
Yeah.
Listen, I'll tell you, if at the end of this season I'm very optimistic and I have some actual positive data for Henry Davis, Gonzalez, and Horwitz, I think I'm keeping Ben Charrington, and I never thought in a million years I would say that.
So you don't think they need to get to like a win total? Like if Donnie Kelly plays 500 baseball, so let's say hypothetically they don't get to 76, which they were at the last 2 years.
Yeah.
How would you hold Ben Charrington in regards for that? Like, looking back on, let's
largely
say
largely responsible, but I would have, again, if those three guys or two of the three are really looking like I'm really optimistic, like if Henry Davis takes off here, to me, that in and of itself could save Charrington's job, maybe with justification, maybe.
So if that's the case.
Plus the bullpen that he's cobbled together that we've ripped him for. They basically swept the Phillies. The bullpen did. They were
definitely
unbelievable. In other words, I'm surprised by this. Believe me, I'm still open minded about Ben Charrington returning, and I never thought in a million years I would say that. I still think he should have been fired with Shelton. I do. But the fact of the matter is, there's been some developments, and there's opportunity, I think, for players to prove him right.
So if that's the case, was Shelton ultimately the problem? What was Shelton the biggest issue and biggest problem now that they're a 500 baseball team with Kelly?
Did Henry Davis, is he coming along because Derek Shelton's gone?
Well, I mean, Derek Shelton didn't want to play him, and when he did, he threw him out in right field.
Well, Kelly has no choice. I'm not sure Kelly was going to play him either, but everybody else is hurt.
Shelton didn't play Canario either until Ben Charrington.
Canario stinks again right now, but...
Yeah.
No, I don't think that would prove that Shelton was the problem. But again, maybe Charrington made the move at the perfect time. Maybe he should have done it before the season. I don't know. They were arguing about that on the morning show. I think that's Bob Nutting's call, myself, to fire the manager. Ultimately, that's his call. I don't think it's Charrington's. So you're telling me, what if all the above happens? What if the Pirates, under Don Kelly, have a winning record, and two of the three following guys has a really good year in the end? Henry Davis, Horwitz, and who else was I thinking of? Henry Davis, Horwitz, and Gonzalez.
And Gonzalez.
Yeah.
I'm pretty optimistic about Gonzalez, regardless. The unfortunate thing is, I don't think that you can keep Don Kelly and still move off of Charrington. Like, if that was the option, then I would do that. I would still move off Charrington and hope that whoever the new GM is would keep Don Kelly
in
his role.
Why couldn't you? Why couldn't you still move off Charrington?
I mean, you probably could, but typically when a new GM comes in, he wants his guy. You know, he wants somebody that is he has hired
yeah.
to ultimately run the club and have a similar perspective as himself. Now, maybe that will be the case that whoever, if that would happen and Charrington would be moved off, that that person would still value Donnie Kelly enough to say, okay, sure, we'll keep him as manager. He did a good enough job. But I still don't think that regardless of what's happened, Charrington should be, and I don't think you are, left off the hook to the point where I think a lot of us have written him off to the point where once September hits, it'll be bye-bye Ben Charrington, your house is on the market. Sure, you might be moving closer to the ballpark, but I mean, you could take some signals from that.
No, I mean, if by the end of the season they have a first baseman, and there are things I like about Horwitz, and they have a second baseman in Gonzalez, and if Henry Davis comes along, I think the argument to keep Charrington wins out over the argument to get rid of him.
Should that excuse, though, ultimately what they failed to do in the offseason, only getting Horwitz?
No, and it was a horrible offseason. He signed Tommy Pham, but Adam Fraser, by the way, is looking like a better signing, too.
Yeah, he's been hitting well. I just can't excuse, and I used to be a big Charrington supporter. I just can't excuse what he failed to do this offseason to put a lot of talent around Skeens.
Do you blame him? I mean, I blame him partly. I mostly blame the budget.
Right. No, the budget is significant.
Their big signing was $4 million for Tommy Pham.
No multi-year free agent since Ivan Nova.
I mean, you know, yes, believe me, Ben Charrington right now I would fire. But I've become more open-minded on the rest of the season because of signs of life from Davis.
So
because I think Gonzalez has a chance, and because I think Horwitz has a chance.
Yeah.
That's 33% of your starting lineup.
Now let me throw this out there as well. It's over the course of 162. We know what the first month and a half and change gave here. How much maybe are we overvaluing what has happened over the last 5 weeks and kind of banking on that happening, like some of those guys that weren't hitting at the start of the year?
I'm not necessarily, I'm not banking on it, but again, I'm open-minded.
I'm open-minded as well.
And I'll tell you this much, Don Kelly, even though I think it's mostly about the players, the fact that he has a winning record with this group, he's done a hell of a job.
He has.
You know,
his bullpen management
has been solid. Management has been excellent. I also think there's a vibe where with any coach or manager who comes in to a full rebuild and he's the guy at the beginning, he's very rarely the guy at the end because right. all the losing, it's almost unfair in a way, but all the losing just creates a vibe around you of losing. It's a bad vibe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Shelton needed to get off to a great start this year after last year's collapse. He should have been fired after last year, honestly.
Yes.
To create that vibe in the offseason. It's just very few start with the new rebuild and are the ones to, you know, experience the fruits of it. It just doesn't happen. The vibe becomes so bad. So I wonder if a lot of guys might have been able to come in and just be not Derek Shelton. With the stain of losing on him. Again, fair or unfair, with the stain of losing.
How about what Brian Reynolds said last night about Donnie Kelly?
Yeah, he's just great. Everybody in here loves him, and he's fun to play for, so not much more you can ask.
They like playing for him.
Well, when we get to, because I got asked also on the mailbag, what would their record be right now if Kelly was at the start of the year?
Great question.
And my answer, in part, was I always think it's more about the players than the manager. Like, did Brian Reynolds start hitting? Brian Reynolds, in a lot of ways, buried them earlier this season. We realize what one guy can do when he gets hot, especially when he's your $100 million guy. He was horrifying at the beginning of the year for a lot of weeks. So would he have been good with Kelly? I don't know. I find that a little hard to believe. Would David Bednar have been good with Kelly at the beginning of the year? Would he not have gotten demoted and ruined the first series against Miami?
Yeah, Reynolds.
I don't know about that.
333 over his last 15 games with 14 RBIs.
Right. Would who else has started hitting? Henry Davis.
Would he have magically started hitting? I think with more playing time, probably.
It's not like he's tearing it up, by the way.
No.
But he's helping them win. So I don't know about that. I think the record might be pretty similar with Kelly. But then again, there is how much importance do you put on the vibe, especially. the negative vibe of just being engulfed by losing, losing, losing hundreds upon hundreds of games and literally never winning. I think that can be a tough environment. And unfortunately, that was around Shelton. You know what I mean? Well, that's what years. He did.
Yeah, other than 20
is lose.
That's all he did. Fourth losingest manager. I don't know if that's a word.
I don't know that history. Nobody would have won the first 4 years here. Nobody in history. It was a tank job is what it was. Then last year's collapse, it should have been it for him.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.